Hey Elul, Thursday the 5th of September, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Godlevsky. Why do I need to check my 100% kosher mezuzahs?
Good morning, everyone. There was once this shikha, a drunkard. Every night he would go to the pub and he would drink his head off. And his kids were very, very embarrassed. That, you know, he was always rolling around the place. And anyway, so one day they decided they're going to get the mezuzahs checked. So they checked his bedroom door mezuzah. And instead of the words Leman Tizkru, it said Leman Tishkru. Everyone understands that it does not actually say Leman Tizkru in a mezuzah. It's only got the first two parashas, Shema and Vayom Shemoyah. So, the ignorance of mezuzahs is unfortunately very, very widespread, and it's a good idea for everyone to spend a few minutes discussing the importance of mezuzahs, the way mezuzahs are written, generally what one is supposed to look for in Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzah writing. I actually saw the Baruch Shama the Baruch Shama himself says he bemoans the fact that people don't check their mezuzahs often enough. Maybe once in 100 years, he writes, people check mezuzahs. And he's already complaining about it then, and the same stands true today. So the question is, why do I need to check my mezuzahs? And what I really want to focus on today is not just why do I need to check my mezuzahs, but I want to focus on everything surrounding the mezuzahs. So the importance of the mezuzahs, the beauty of a good mezuzah, being mesudah about having nice mezuzahs in nice cases, positioned correctly. It's not just about checking the mezuzahs. Strictly speaking, any person can take down the mezuzah off their door, open it up, and to the best of his layman ability, assume everything's okay. If it looks clean and looks good, strictly speaking, everything's fine. Now, I can stand here all morning and rattle off dozens of problems that I found, and I can also tell you dozens of very, very beautiful mezuzahs that I found, and generally speaking, there's a lot of good mezuzahs out there, and unfortunately, a lot of not such good mezuzahs. It says, Pischa Yishar Tzedek. What does it mean, Pischa Yishar Tzedek? How can a door be righteous? I remember, quite a number of years ago, I joined Rav Scheinberg's minyan when he was visiting here in London, and as he was walking to his place, there was like an archway which didn't have a mezuzah on it. I remember he stopped at the archway and he put his hand up to find the mezuzah and it wasn't there. And I remember my father said to Rav Scheinberg, it doesn't need a mezuzah. It's just a support column. It's not a doorway. I remember he literally auctioned. He would not walk through it. And then he did, I don't know why or how, but the point is that in his mind, if there's no mezuzah, there's no doorway. I can't walk through a brick wall. That's what Pischa Yishar Tzedek means. A righteous doorway has a mezuzah. A righteous doorway has a kosher mezuzah. A righteous doorway has a quality mehudah mezuzah. And if it doesn't, you simply can't walk through it. Now, mezuzah is really the doorpost. Really, a mezuzah itself. You know, everyone always jokes that, you know, the builder throws the instructions, right? The mezuzah is not the case. Yes, it's very nice to have a fancy case, but the mezuzah is the clef. And mezuzah literally means doorpost. So why don't we call mezuzah clef? That way it would solve a lot of problems. Everyone would know that it refers to the clef, and not the door or the case. it refers to actual writing. So, I don't really understand the whole thing myself, but I saw brought down that Yaakov Avinu is comparable to the doorpost, and Rachel is comparable to the cloth. And we know that Rachel's height reached Yaakov Avinu's chest, by the height of his heart, which is the beginning third, top third of a person's height, two-thirds of the body, which is the same height that we put a mezuzah. We also know that the Gemara says if you have kol mishiyesh li tefillin barosh, if you've got tefillin on your head, and tzitzis bevigdoi, and mezuzah bepischoi, then you've got a guarantee that you will not be choita. We know when you hold your tzitzis, you hold it, and your finger connected your heart. Right? So, Rachel is like the Levona, she reflects the light of her husband Yaakov. Yaakov is the Mashpia, and Rachel is the Makalip, right? So, Yaakov is the doorpost. The doorpost is holding the mezuzah. Without a doorpost, there's nowhere to put this mezuzah. The two are intertwined. Yaakov Avinu and mezuzah are very closely related because mezuzah has 22 lines. In fact, you have to have siritot. You score the lines and the letters hang off them. And that corresponds to the 22 years that Yaakov Avinu was in Golus. Corresponds to the 22 years that Yaakov was missing his son Yosef. It corresponds to the 22 bones which are in a person's head. And that, the head of Yaakov, is mashpia onto the heart. Okay. I want to show you a few interesting things that I've found. And the first one I'm going to show you is something that really, really amazed me. And this is an absolutely beautiful, large, 20-centimeter mezuzah. It is written in full hiddur, everything you could possibly want, and it's 100 million% kosher. On the same house, the rest of the mezuzahs were a regular-sized mezuzah, like this. I called the person up, and I said, you've got two beautiful, beautiful mezuzahs, and all the rest, they're okay. They look like the person knows kind of what he's talking about. You know, he knows roughly how to write. But it's bad spacing. There's letters which are a bit too long. There was the word mezuzos. There was a gap in between, and the vowel was a bit long. So it almost read like mezon zois. I was a bit confused. It just didn't match up. It seemed like the sofer knew how to write, but he wasn't actually delivering. Anyway, this person, he was just listening in stunned silence to everything I was saying, and the more he was silent, the more I was trying to explain things, and I didn't quite know where I was heading with it. He says to me, you do realize they're both the same sofer. The big one and the little one, they're all the same sofer. It's just not possible. I said, it can't be. It's not the same sofa. Maybe he sold you from someone else. Anyway, I went, I sat down again. I spent another little while on it. It could be it is the same sofa. It is unbelievable that you can have a sofa that can write so beautifully and yet so sloppy and so backhandedly when it's just not interested. So what I want to show you is two points. Firstly, you can have really nice mezuzahs, which are possible because a person is a human being, and you can make a mistake. So, for example, this mezuzah over here. It reads, "Mishnatam levenecha v'dibarta b'shiftecha." It's missing the word "bom," and it's actually a very nice ksav. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, when I was checking these mezuzahs, I was thinking to myself, "This is great. This is so easy to check these mezuzahs. 20 mezuzahs, all written beautifully." I was literally sitting in my garden, enjoying the rare sunshine, and suddenly I could not believe it. We're missing a word. So these types of things.
Was that computer checked?
I don't know. If you're pointing out computer checking, I just want to add one little note to that. Computer checking is also only as good as the person running the computer. So when the computer finds a problem, very often, it might not be a problem, it might be a bad quality scan, or it thinks it's picked up something and it isn't, or it's a bit of dirt on the cloth, or whatever it is. And the person sitting in front of the computer has to decide, am I okaying this problem, or is it a problem? So even you can get a clean computer report, but even that report is based on the person sitting in front of the desk. Okay, moving on to another mezuzah over here, also written very, very nicely. In fact, I actually know who the sofa is, and he really, really writes beautifully. And again, v'chol meidecha v'hoi adorim ha'ele, asher, space, not space, missing word, mitzav chohayon, missing the word anoichi. So those are two examples of mezuzahs which are written nicely. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this ksav whatsoever. But he's simply a human being, he left out a word.
When you sell the mezuzah, you check it. So if you don't find it, why should we find something?
So the question of the shir was, why do I need to check my 100% kosher mezuzahs? And the simple answer which should be clear by now is that you don't know if it's 100% kosher or not. And that is why you need to check. You need to check to make sure that it hasn't become sunburnt, like this one, which is totally burnt, because it was in a clear case, so therefore it literally disintegrated. Or, like this one, which not only did it burn, it also became moldy. Number one, this pretty much anyone can check. As soon as you take it out of the case, you'll notice straight away. And more subtle problems, like, well, actually, this is also a burn in the cloth, but sometimes you have smudging along the way, and you need to decide whether that smudging has distorted the osius or not. Is that letter still considered a kosher letter or not?
What's the time scale for checking? I mean, how often do you need to do it?
Okay. And then there's problems, which should have really been detected to begin with. But it wasn't detected. And therefore, it's a very good idea to check it every so often. And, you know, usually over the course of a lifetime of mezuzahs, if you do check it twice in 7 years, as you're supposed to, and hopefully at some point, someone, somewhere, will find the problem. This mezuzah over here is probably the worst spelling mistake I've ever come across, and it is the most upsetting spelling mistake. The circumstances were upsetting, and the actual mistake is upsetting. If you read the first line, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, in the word Elokeinu, it's missing the Yud. It's got a Aleph Lamed Hey Nun Vav. It's missing the Yud. For a sofer to miss out a letter in Hashem's name, which is when you're supposed to have the ultimate kavanah, you're not allowed to talk whilst you're writing Hashem's name. You're not allowed to. You shouldn't have any distracting noise in the background. You shouldn't be listening to anything. You have to have total kavanah when you write Hashem's name. In fact, when you write Hashem's name, you're supposed to be. There's an inyan to write the entire Shem Hashem with one dip of the feather into the ink. So you should have enough ink in the reservoir of your feather to to write the entire name. So you shouldn't be mafsik in the middle by refilling your feather. That's how much you need to be mechavan when you write Hashem's name. You can't have any distractions. To miss out a yud in Hashem's name is simply inexcusable. There is no excuse in the world to miss out Hashem's name, and miss out a letter in Hashem's name. If you miss out a word, okay. When a sofer writes, before you write every word, you're supposed to copy it from Excel. So you have a copy in front of you. Let's say you have such a copy of Excel in front of you, and you write, you read the word Shema. You write the word Shema. If you're a bit more experienced, you can maybe read two or three words. If you're a bit less experienced, that's the way you're used to it. You may have your klaf on top of another one, and then you literally copy letter for letter as you go along, depending on the way you do it. So, I hear that a person can miss out a word, but to miss out a letter in Hashem's name, what really hurt me was the fact that this couple were going through a bit of a nasty time, and we know that Ish v'Isha, Shchina Shurei B'Neim, the Ish is the Yud and the Hey, and the Yud over here was missing. And, yeah. So.
Does the story have a happy ending?
No. The happy ending was that I changed all the mezuzahs of the entire house, all 25 of them. Okay. So, the Baruch Shamak says, Chsavtem, we know, Chsavtem means Ksiva Tama. You should write in a clear writing. Baruch Shamak says clearly, Yichtoiv, Toivois, Tmimois, Vloishivurois, of a missing God, you should write wholesome, complete letters without any breakages in the middle, and it should be written with care and attention. Like we saw before, you can have a sofer that writes a beautiful big mezuzah when he cares about it. You know, it's a big mezuzah, it's a speciality, it's an interesting thing, it's something that he doesn't do on a daily basis. He probably quite enjoyed it. It's almost like an artistic expression to do such a large size mezuzah. So therefore, he did it so beautifully. But when it came to his regular day-to-day work, he simply wasn't putting his heart and soul into it. A real quality sofer spends absolutely no less than minimum two, usually closer to 3-4 hours on a mezuzah. And when people ask me how much the mezuzahs cost, it's a question which I just can't answer. If someone calls me up and says, I need a mezuzah, then I can help you. If someone calls me up, how much is a mezuzah? So you're not telling me that you want a mezuzah. You just want to know what's the least I can spend. So I just can't help you. I make more money checking mezuzahs than selling mezuzahs. I don't do me any favors. If you want to buy a third bar mezuzah, without kasha, go find someone else. If you're coming to me, then tell me, I want a mezuzah. Okay, you want a mezuzah? Fine. Let me explain to you. You have this type of mezuzah. You have this type of mezuzah. You have this quality itself. You have this quality itself. Why should I spend more? Why should I spend less? Do I want a bit more of a square writing? Do I want a bit more rounder writing? Do I want a bigger ksav? Do I want a smaller ksav? Do I want Bet Yosef? Do I want Arizal? Sfardi? You know, I can talk to you. But if someone's first question is, how much is mezuzahs? Usually that person's not my client. Nothing, and when I do say, starts at, you know, £65-75 mark, it starts, and it can go up to 100 and over. And people say, why is it expensive? So maybe it's not expensive. It might be a lot of money, maybe, but it's not expensive. If you break it down, let's talk facts and figures. If a sofer puts in 2-3 hours, 4 hours of work, and the klaf costs you £5, and the checking costs you £5, and the seicher wants to make a fiver or a tenner on it, you do the maths, how much is left over. Therefore, if someone's selling the mezuzah for too low an amount, you have to ask the question, why?
China.
Well, probably the cloth costed £2. The cloth costed £2 and the check-in costed £2 because the guy checked it didn't really want to see all the mistakes. So he didn't want to look at it too closely. I was once doing a bit of shemush in putting in parashas a certain person, and there was a few other sofrim around that building. So one of them, another sofer from the next door dira walked in, and we were chatting. And he said, what do you think about this writing? And it was a really low-level writing. He says, you know something? I used to be a really good Baal Magia. Since I started putting in parashas, I just don't look anymore. I can't look, I find all the problems. Right?
Now,
he can't look at it too closely because he sees all the problems with it. Right? He prefers not to look, I prefer not to know. So, my point of this shiur is not to give you horror stories, even if I did. And the point is not to scare all of you, although I hope I did in some way. The real point is that when you look around your house, usually mezuzahs comes last on the list of anyone's buying scale for some reason. Especially when you move into a new house. You refurbish the whole house, you've taken out a huge mortgage, and you've paid for the refurbishment of the whole house, and then you need to furnish the house. By the time you move in, on the night that you move in, you suddenly remember, oi, I can't sleep here without mezuzahs. You quickly call up 1,000 people, and you borrow a few from here, and you go to a gemach here, and you find some old mezuzahs lying around. Before you know it, you've got a hodgepodge of mezuzahs, and then you wonder why it looks the way it does. And the simple reason is because you didn't put the effort into it. I've been to many, many houses this week alone. I can tell you, the houses that you go to, that every single mezuzah case looks the same, you know you're going to have an easy time. The houses that you go to, that every single case is bought in a different shop at a different time, you're usually in for trouble. If one case is screwed and one is nailed and one is put on with a sticker and one hasn't got a case and one is with thumbtacks, you're usually in for a hard time. So, I would like to impress upon all of you, A, the importance of buying good mezuzahs to begin with. B, the importance of checking mezuzahs every few years. The importance of changing the cases when you check the mezuzahs so that they should have a better resistance to moisture, to sunlight. Don't put a clear case outdoors. Don't put a clear mezuzah case outdoors. If you have a mezuzah outside, it should probably be in a wooden case, and even better if it's got a tube inside that wooden case, because the tube protects it from the rain, and the wood absorbs the sunlight. Some people even put it inside the doorpost. That's also a very good idea. Carved into the door frame. PVC doors represent a big challenge, and one of the best aids that I can recommend is to simply take the mezuzah out of its case, wrap it well, and slip it inside the actual door frame. On the inside of the closure of the door, there's usually a little gap between the lock catch and the windbreaker, and there's usually space over there by the seal to be able to put the mezuzah itself in that cavity, in that hole. You use a double-sided sticky tape and you put a piece of tape on top of it, and that is actually the best way to do it on a PVC door, because to put it on the flat side in front over here is not lechatzchela at all. I want to read out to you, I came across this little article somewhere, I don't remember where. The US Army Corps of Engineers planned to supervise construction of a 5-story underground facility for an Israeli Defense Force complex, oddly named Site 9/11, at an Israeli Air Force base near Tel Aviv. The corps offered a lengthy description of the mezuzahs the contractor is to provide. For each door or opening, exclusive of bathrooms or shower rooms in the site 9/11 building. A mezuzah is a parchment which has been inscribed with Hebrew verses from the Torah, placed in a case and attached to the doorframe of a Jewish family's house as a sign of faith. Some interpret Jewish laws as requiring, as in this case, that a mezuzah be attached to every single door in the house. The mezuzahs, notes the corps, this is the American army giving instruction to the Israelis how to put mezuzahs up, shall be written in inerasable ink on uncoated leather parchment, which means that the cloth should not be primed, which causes the letters to crack, and be handwritten by a scribe holding a written authorization according to Jewish law. The writing may be Ashkenazic or Sephardic, but not a mixture, and must be uniform. Again, this is the American army advising the Israelis how to put mezuzahs on a military base which they are building together. Also, the mezuzahs should be proofread by a computer at an authorized institution for mezuzah inspection, as well as manually proofread for the form of the letters by a proofreader authorized by the chief rabbinate. The mezuzah should be supplied with an aluminium housing with holes so they can be connected to the doorframe opening. And finally, all mezuzahs for the facility should be affixed by the base's rabbi or his appointed representative and not by the contractor staff. In other words, don't let the Goyish builder put the mezuzahs up. I thought that was an amazing thing that when someone decides, you know, when the American army decides we're going to co-build this building together, we're going to make sure it's done properly. And if they can do it properly, Kal v'chomer, every single one of us should do it properly. So, in conclusion, if you take a look at this sample over here, you have a gimel and a gimel. The red gimel is kosher. People always ask me, so is it kosher or is it not kosher? Do you want your gimel to look like that or like that? Which gimel do you want? Do you want a hangman stick figure gimel? Or do you want a nice mehuda gimel? Do you want a gimel which has a square head and three targum, the right one higher than the left one in the middle and the tallest, where the right hand leg extends lower than the left leg, where the left hand leg is thick and it has a thick connection to the base and it slants a little bit more to the right? Or do you want this, just to be Yotzer? Go.